At this time, it's our pleasure to introduce Miss Joni Mitchell.
Where did Joni Mitchell go when she first retired from the music industry in 1970? What was the reason she returned to the music industry after a two-year hiatus? This is Fame and Fortune Through the Eyes of Joni Mitchell's 1972 album, For the Roses. Joni Mitchell is considered one of the greatest singer-songwriters of the 20th century. With songs such as Woodstock, Big Yellow Taxi and Both Sides Now, she was a voice of a generation and still has millions of fans to this day, over 50 years since her debut album, Song to a Seagull. In this episode, I will be diving into, in my opinion, one of Joni Mitchell's most underrated albums, For the Roses. This record emerged after a two-year hiatus Joni took from the music industry to live a more seclusive and private life. 1971 saw Joni release her most critically acclaimed record, Blue. A collection of confessional songs so deeply personal and soul-bearing, Joni described herself at the time she wrote Blue as transparent, also saying, "People became transparent to me. People thought I had the evil eye. That's why we locked off the Blue sessions. Nobody could come in. If anybody came in, I'd burst into tears." A year earlier in 1970, Joni had decided she had had enough of the harsh and unfair music industry and gave up working, travelling and giving interviews. It wouldn't be 2 years till she realised how much she loved performing again and emerged out of her short-lived two-year retirement. During the first year she travelled, and then in the second year built a stone house in the Canadian province of British Columbia with a friend, eating just fruit and vegetables in the summer and reading several unsatisfying psychological books. It wasn't until she was living alone in her newly built house that she began thinking about performing again, after wanting to sing newly written songs in front of a live audience to make them feel complete. Released in November 1972, For the Roses was Joni's fifth studio album, and although mainly still a folk album, it was her first experimenting with jazz instruments and musicians. The album promptly climbed the charts as soon as it came out, reaching number 11 in the US, number 5 in Canada, and number 18 in Australia. The album's only single, You Turn Me On, I'm a Radio, became Joni's first top 40 hit, reaching number 25 on the Hot 100. Last week, I had the absolute pleasure of chatting with two Joni Mitchell fans about For the Roses. Here are their thoughts. What are your thoughts on For the Roses?
For the Roses is an extremely underrated record in Joni's discography. I love everything about this album, from the discerning lyrics to the captivating melodies. I love her songwriting on this album and how she talks about the downsides of fame and fortune without sounding ungrateful or egotistic.
What was your initial impressions of For the Roses?
I did not immediately fall in love with the album when I first heard it, but the more I listened to it, I started to like the album more and the theme she was exploring.
I didn't like it as much as Blue or Caught in Spark during the first few listens, but as I began to realise that they were all separate projects created at different times of her life, I could enjoy the record for what it was, a sensational album.
Can you talk a bit about your favourites of the album?
My favourite on For the Roses is definitely the title track. It's so refreshingly honest and profound.
It's hard to choose for me, but I would say that one of my favourite tracks on the record is Blonde in the Bleachers, because I can appreciate the smooth production, confessional lyrics, and how Joni's melancholic voice and piano chords glide almost effortlessly through the track.
Another favourite on the album is probably You Turn Me On Like a Radio. I can't help but smile and sing whenever it comes on.
One of the many reasons Joni is such a celebrated artist is because she's an incredible lyricist. I am now going to explore certain songs on the record that delve into Joni's relationship with fame and fortune. Referred to by Joni as her first farewell to show business, the track Banquet opens the album, with Joni singing about the harsh unfairness and arbitraries of the music industry. This song is an observation on the music scene, as if it is a banquet thrown by the sea. Throughout the song, Joni sings of her discontent with the music industry and how businessmen seem to be comfortable taking from young musicians who are struggling, with lines such as,
"Some get the grain, some get the gristle, some get the marrow bone, and some get nothing, though there's plenty to spare."
And
back in the banquet line, angry young people crying. Who let the greedy in? Who let the needy out? Who made the salty soup?
These lines suggest that the rich characters Joni sings about are eating all of the food, yet the starving musicians or creatives are getting leftovers or none, even if there is enough food to go around. In an album review for For the Roses, journalist Kenneth Altschuler wrote, "When Joni speaks of starving, she makes you feel the hunger in her pounding notes and her striving lyrics. Her music makes her thoughts positively unnerving." Lesson in Survival is the first love song on For the Roses, and sees Joni tackle the hardships and hopes of her relationship with singer-songwriter James Taylor. Some lyrics in this song allude to her thoughts on fame and fortune, and possibly hint at why she feels unworthy and unqualified in some social aspects. The highlight of this song for me is the soul-bearing lyrics. It almost seems like a diary entry more than a song. It is clear that she is questioning how she acts around others when she sings.
"Maybe it's paranoia, maybe it's sensitivity. Your friends protect you, scrutinize me. I get so damn timid, not at all the spirit that's inside of me. Oh baby, I can't seem to make it with you socially. There's this reef around me."
Kenneth Altschuler from the Michigan Daily wrote that Lesson in Survival has incredible lyrical construction. The words are loose and unclear, but this sporadicness spells out the confusion that the story is meant to convey. Joni gave an interview to Sounds magazine in June of 1972, months before the release of For the Roses, in which she said, "I have a take of Lesson in Survival which is really magical. The feeling is there and I don't think I'll do it again, so I have that cut and finished." In certain lyrics of the song, Joni alludes to how she was feeling at the time she quit the music industry, and how she craved a more tranquil lifestyle with her partner, as she sings,
"My sweet, I'm away, I need more quiet times. By your river flowing, you and me, deep kisses and the sun going down."
The title track addresses fame and the music industry, the most straightforward on the record. Joni wrote the song for her boyfriend at the time, James Taylor, who was about to experience immense success and felt that she could share some cautionary advice with the success that she had attained up until that point.
"I guess I seem ungrateful with my teeth sunk in the hand that brings me things I really can't give up just yet."
Nearing the end of the song, Joni clarifies that although there are parts of the music industry that she finds draining and negative, there are also aspects that she's not quite ready to let go of. She also recognised that the fame and fortune she had acquired would not last forever, and that when artists are finally seeing some success after years of hard work, things begin to go downhill quickly.
"Oh, the power and glory, just when you're getting a taste for worship, they start bringing out the hammers and the boards and the nails."
"See You Sometime" deals with the lingering emotions of an unfaithful partner and the competitiveness Joni feels because she's involved with someone who is famous.
"Are you caught in a crowd or holding some honey who came on to you? Why survives. Though it's undermined, I'd still like to see you sometime.
Here, Joni knows that he is not committed to her and is hurt by the end of their relationship, yet she still wants to see him, presumably because there is unfinished business between them.
I'm not ready to change my name again, but you know I'm not after a piece of your fortune and your fame, 'cause I tasted mine. I'd just like to see you sometime.
Like the title track, Joni is acknowledging that she has seen success before, and that her ex-partner's newfound fame is not the reason she wants to reconnect with him. It seems that at the time, Joni may have thought that the success she had experienced had already peaked. Little did she know that her next release, Caught on Spark, would go on to be certified double platinum in the US and be the most commercially successful record of her career. The most successful single of the album and Joni's first top 40 hit was You Turn Me On, I'm a Radio.
Oh honey, you turn me on, I'm a radio, I'm a country station, I'm a little bit corny, I'm a wildflower waiting for you, broadcasting tower.
You Turn Me On, I'm a Radio was tailored by Mitchell to specifically appeal to radio DJs and be played after her label's eagerness for her to compose a hit.
And I'm sending you this signal here, I hope you can pick it up loud and clear. I know you don't like weak women, you get bored so quick, and you don't like strong women 'cause they're hip to your tricks. It's been dirty for dirty down the line, but you know I come when you whistle and you're...
The final track on For the Roses I will be discussing is Blonde in the Bleachers. This song shows Joni exploring the sadness she feels being romantically involved with a rock star because of the travelling and the fans she must compete with.
She tapes her regrets to the microphone stand. She says you can't hold the hand of a rock and roll man very long.
In the final verse, Joni is singing to subdue the pain she feels, because she knows that as long as her rock and roll man is travelling and meeting revering fans, she'll never truly have him. Thank you for listening to the show, and I hope to be back very soon with another episode.